You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Hey everyone, we will look into Romans chapter 5. If you've been following us, you know that we are in a series called Gospel Explained. And this is an interesting series, and I think we are learning a lot from this. And we are now down to Romans chapter 5. We were also in Romans chapter 5 last Sunday, but we were on the earlier portions of Romans chapter 5. Today we will look into Romans chapter 5, verse 12 to 21. Please turn your Bibles with me for a while to Romans chapter 5. We will read from verse 12 down to verse 21. Alright, so because we will be exegeting these verses, it will be good for you to have your Bibles with you so that you can follow me as we comb through these verses in Romans chapter 5. We are reading from the ESV. So allow me now to go straight to Romans chapter 5. We'll start with verse 12. It says here, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come." Verse 15 says, "But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Now, the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Okay, let me just start this off sharing with you a story. One of the things that we're blessed with here in the province is we get to have the privilege of enjoying the scenic view. When we drive to places like Bayawan or you drive to places going north, but you know, there are really those times wherein, as you're driving, you really need to stop and go down from your car and just really take a closer look at the beauty that captures you. And that is what we have here in Romans chapter 5. This is a portion in the book of Romans wherein we need to just really stop and take a closer look. So that is why, as we have covered Romans chapter 5 last Sunday, we're still covering Romans chapter 5 today. As a reminder for all of us, the overarching or the larger context of what we're talking about here is still justification. This is what we've covered in Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter 4, and even our preaching last Sunday on the first portions of Romans chapter 5. So the larger context is still justification. So that's something important that we need to understand. If we move to Romans chapter 6, which is next Sunday, we will begin talking about our sanctification. As we understand, our sanctification is our progressive growth in God's grace in our life. So, pagka-Christian po, it simply means that you are justified ka o ginasanctify ka. We are justified and we are being sanctified. It's like saying that we are perfect and we are being made perfect. It's something like that. But allow me to just further look into justification for a while. And as we cover sanctification, it's like, siguro sa itsura lang, perfect po kayo. Pero sa character natin, in our character, we have a long way to go. We are all works in progress. We have a long way to go in terms of our Christ-likeness. Amen? For now, we will take an even closer look at justification with the help of contrast. And here's what we're going to do. We will be looking into some contrast that we can find here in Romans chapter 5. And you know how contrast would help us, right? If you enter a pitch black room, a totally dark environment, if there is just but one small hole there wherein light could penetrate through, you could really see that light shining through in that pitch dark environment because of the contrast. The contrast between the dark place and the tiny hole that you have there wherein light is passing through. Contrast would help us understand sometimes. If you look at a certain text, contrast would help us understand further or clearer a certain passage or text that we're looking into. Sometimes contrasting things will make us understand a subject even better. Just briefly, let's look into a working definition of justification. Justification is our being declared righteous by God the Father, on the basis of the merit and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a simple definition of what justification is. So now let's look into three contrasts that are found in Romans chapter 5, verse 12 to 21. We will comb through these verses and we will come on some verses as we seek to understand this contrast. The first contrast that we find here is the contrast between death and grace. Write that down in your notebook. A contrast between death and grace. In order for us to understand it, let me lead you to Romans chapter 5, verse 15. In verse 15, it says here, "But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many." Now, here's what we're going to do. We're covering this with the use of the ESV. And I thought of pulling out a specific verse using the NASB. Only with the intention that we would get to sort this out and understand this further. So in the NASB version of Romans chapter 5, verse 15, here's what it says. "But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one, the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many." Right? Abound to the many. Now, let's try to sort this out now. First, it starts with the word "but." It says here, "But the free gift is not like the transgression." Now, listen closely to this. One of the most important words in your Bible is the word "but." Okay, one of the most important words in your Bible is the word "but." In fact, one of the most important three-letter words in your Bible next to the word "God" or the name "God" is the word "but." Every time you look at this word "but," every time you encounter this word "but," most especially in the epistles of Paul, Paul is like saying it is equivalent to "pay attention." All right? It's equivalent to "pay attention" every time he brings up this word. In his letters, every time he writes the word "but," he's basically telling us to be observant and expectant because he's going to unload and unpack something that is of importance. All right? So Romans chapter 5 verse 15 begins with the word "but." Then here's what he says, "But the free gift." But the free gift. All right? It says here, "But the free gift." Now Paul wants to bring our attention to this free gift. In verse 15, he starts with the word "but," and he starts talking about the free gift. He basically wants to get our attention into this word "free gift." Of course, here's the question. The question is, what is this free gift? Many of you know that we're just basically looking into a summary of what we've talked about the past three Sundays. We're just basically going back to it. What is this free gift? Of course, you know what the free gift is. The free gift here is actually referring to what? To the package of salvation. The entirety of the salvation package that is ours through the Lord Jesus Christ. Specifically, this is what Paul was referring to in the earlier verses. We are in verse 12 down to verse 21, 12 to 19. But when he starts talking about this free gift, he's basically referring to what? To verses 6 to 11 of Romans chapter 5. Specifically, Romans chapter 8 down to verse 11. And I want to read it for everyone. Here's your free gift. Here's our free gift. It says here, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God." We've talked about that in length. Verse 10, "For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that," it says here, Paul says, "we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." So this is the free gift that Paul is referring to. So if you look at this, a summary perhaps is, the free gift is our what? Our justification, which we find in verse 9, and our reconciliation, which is covered in verse 10 to 11. So in essence, what Paul was saying was, in Romans chapter 5, verse 15, and I place some emphasis here, but the free gift, our justification, and our reconciliation with God is not like the transgression. All right? It's not like the transgression. So we see here that now Paul is working on a contrast. He now starts working on a contrast. He says, it's not like the transgression. Let's try to look into this for a while. Here's what's interesting. If we go to verse 12, we would notice that Paul would use the word sin. He would use the word sin four times in verse 12. All right? He would use the word sin four times in verse 12. It says here, check this out. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. I'm sorry, but there's a correction. He mentioned it not four times, but five times. He mentions the word five times in one verse. So if you come to look at that logically, if you would use a certain word, in this case, the word sin, in one verse, and you're working on a thought pattern, logically, you would be using this word all throughout the rest of the verses or the rest of the letter. But here's what's interesting. We would find that instead of using the word sin, if we go down to verse 15, coming from verse 12, Paul instead uses a different word. He uses a different word. Look at this. It says here, but the free gift, he could have said, but the free gift is not like the sin. That's not what he says. He says, but the free gift is not like the transgression. So Paul starts using the word transgression or trespass. Trespass is what you have in your Bible, perhaps. For if by the transgression of one, the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. So here, we are going to another question here. What is transgression? Okay, Paul makes use of the word transgression instead of the word sin. So the question for us now is, what is transgression? When you say transgression, transgression basically is a step in the wrong direction. It is a step in the wrong direction. Meaning to say, it's like you fail because you have left the path. There was a path prepared for you, but because you intentionally went out of that path, it caused you to fall. That is basically what transgression means. This is consequential in nature if you would study this word. So every one of us must have heard the phrase, the fall of man. The fall of man is what is referred to as the original sin. The fall of man is where we get the idea of transgression. It means that Adam was walking along the path that God has prepared for him, that God wanted him to walk to when he deliberately left those tracks and fell. Because of that, he literally tripped and fell headlong. That is the picture of what transgression is. That is a picture of what fall is. But here's the thing. I want you to understand this. Adam, being our federal head, being our representative, I want you to understand this because this is very important. He did not just fall. Adam fell and he pulled every single one of us with him. That is the bad news. He fell and pulled every single one of us with him. It's like falling train. Imagine Adam being the engine car of this train, and the rest of us are the box cars. He fell headlong, and every single one of us fell with him. That is a picture of what transgression is. And here's what the Bible says. Here's what the verse says. If you go back to verse 15, it gives us a picture of what the result of the transgression is. And the result of the transgression is, check this out, it says here, many died. All right? The result of that transgression is many died. If you would look at that word, you would notice that the verb tense is died. So it gives us a picture that even before we were born, because we were one of those boxcars. And it says here, if you look at the verb tense, it is in the past tense. It gives us a picture that even before we were born, we were already dead. Right? We were already dead. We were already spiritually dead even before we were physically born. Another way to put it is, we came into this world already dead. That is the bad news that we have here every time we start talking about transgression or sin. It refers to everyone that Adam was representing. The entire human race. We were brought along with Adam into sin and death. Now here's what's interesting. It says here, but the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one, the many died. Look at this. It says here, much more did the grace of God. Okay, now look, what Paul is trying to teach every single one of us here, when he used the word much more, he's basically telling us that, okay, if that is some big truth, there is a far greater truth that we need to understand. We begin to see that Paul now is further introducing to us the contrast between death and grace. Because of that transgression, sin and death came into this world. Because of the transgression, we fell headlong together with Adam, our federal head, the representative of all humanity. And like what we said, we were already dead even before we were born. Now, he makes a contrast, but now he starts talking about the grace of God. That is what death looks like. That is what transgression brought into this world. Now, let's try to talk about the grace of God, Paul says. Now, in order for us to understand this, we just try to explain this further. For us to understand the abundance of the grace of God. It says here, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. The recipients here are the many, which basically includes you and me. Now, let's talk about the grace of God. And in order for us to understand this, allow me to further explain something for a while. You know, Adam, having been created by God, enjoying his time in the garden, we have to understand that while he was in the garden, he was like in a probationary period. Okay, remember, for those of you who are working, remember that time wherein you landed a job. For a good 6 months, your supervisor tells you that you are under a probationary period. And before you head to regularization, you'll have to go through this entire time to basically perform and prove yourself. Now, when Adam was in the garden, he was in a probationary period, meaning to say he was expected to obey. Adam was expected to obey, and his obedience will confirm for him his eternal life. Now, that probationary period was given by God. For how long? We don't know. But we know what happened. We know what happened during that probationary period. Adam, like what we said, fell. Adam sinned. What happened in the garden during that time? Transgression. Adam sinned. Now, here's where our problems lie. Yours and mine. Here's the thing. Every time we think about this, and I know this is something that's not new to you, but the problem sometimes is we do not realize that we need more than forgiveness. You know, sometimes we think, okay, I am a sinner. I was born a sinner because of the transgression that was imputed on me. And because of my transgression, I need forgiveness. Well, guess what? That is true. We badly need to ask forgiveness from God. We badly need the mercy of God in our life. But the problem is, we do not realize that we need more than forgiveness. Why is that so? I want us to understand, friends, that forgiveness is only half the story. Forgiveness is only one edge of a two-edged sword. It's only one edge of a two-edged sword. Here's the thing. The next question is, what does forgiveness do? Have you ever tried asking forgiveness from God? Now, here's the thing. What does forgiveness do? Here's what forgiveness does to us. Forgiveness basically wipes away the debt that was incurred. It wipes away the debt that was incurred. But guess what? It does not credit anything to our account. It does not credit anything to our account. Basically, forgiveness brings you only from negative to zero. It brings us from negative to zero. What gets us to heaven in the presence of God is not a zero, but a positive account. Are you folks catching this? What gets us into the presence of God is not a zero, but a positive account. Forgiveness is basically bringing it from negative to zero. We need much more than that. That is why we need much more than forgiveness. Adam went from zero. Like what I said, he was on a probationary period. So probationary period was, he was in a zero. But because he sinned, he went bankrupt. So it was from zero to negative. Right? It was from zero to negative. What is needed is a what? A deposit of righteousness. A deposit of righteousness. There has to be a deposit of righteousness in our life. So these are two things that we're looking into. It has to be what? It has to be forgiveness and righteousness. Forgiveness and righteousness. That is why it says here, this is precisely why in verse 17, this is what was mentioned. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, look at this, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Because of the abundance of God's grace, we are offered justification, wherein we receive imputation of the righteousness of Jesus himself. If you look into what we've just covered so far, it gives us a picture that, all right, if that is the case, then it is actually not entirely right. All right? It is actually not entirely right to say we gain in Christ what we lost in Adam. Catch that? It's not entirely right for us to say that we gain in Christ what we lost in Adam. Rather, we have to say that we gain more in Christ than we lost in Adam. Why? Because if you only gain in Christ what you lost in Adam, then we are just back to where Adam started, which is on zero. All right? So we gain more in Christ than we lost in Adam. Adam brought death. We understand that. And Jesus brought more than just forgiveness. He brought the grace of righteousness in our life. Amen. He brought not just forgiveness, but he brought the grace of righteousness in our life. So that's why we stand confident before the presence of God, because we are forgiven and we are positionally righteous. If you look at these truths that we are looking into here, it gives us a picture that this needs to have a great effect in my Christian walk. This needs to bring us to a place wherein we need to understand that the moment you wake up in the morning, you come before the presence of God in prayer and communion, you understand, beloved, that you are what? That you are not just forgiven, but you're also righteous. We're not just forgiven, but we're also righteous by virtue of the imputation and Jesus' righteousness being credited to our very account. We try to look into that. It gives us a picture that, all right, if that is the case, it frees me up from religiosity. It frees me up from religiosity as a Christian. Eh? Why? Because if our mindset only is, okay, I am forgiven, then that mindset is, I am back to zero. So if you're back to zero, what happens now? Let's say you know for a fact that the Holy Spirit has reminded you about a certain sin in your life. And your mindset only is, I am forgiven. You don't have it in your mind that you are righteous in the eyes of God. And you say, okay, I am forgiven. What happens there is that you're back to zero, and the tendency is every single thing that you do afterwards, the endeavors that you want to do for God, sometimes is motivated by the desire to be righteous. Sometimes our Bible reading, our being good parents, our being great volunteers in the church are motivated by these things. I'd like for us to understand that every time we start talking about our forgiveness and righteousness in Christ, most especially our righteousness in Christ, I want us to understand that you are coming from it and you are not coming to it. Okay, you are coming from a position of righteousness. as you do the works of the ministry, as you become a better husband, as you desire to become a leader in the church and all of these things, you are coming from a position of righteousness and you are not coming to it. Those are two different things. Always think, friends, you are forgiven and you are righteous by virtue of what Christ has done on the cross. What a beautiful and glorious gospel. A gospel that frees us up. It liberates us from the religiosity, the trap of religiosity that we could be in. The second contrast that I want to look into here is the contrast between condemnation and justification. I will be quick on this next point because this is basically what we've covered the past three Sundays. But anyway, let me look into this for a while. The second contrast is the contrast between condemnation and justification. Look at this. In verse 16, I want to read verse 16 to explain this. It says here, the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. Now, here we find again the words not like. We find the word not like. Now, I want us to understand that this is an important literary style that Paul is using here. We see here that the author, Paul, seeks to emphasize something. This is verse 16. He seeks to emphasize something by putting certain words at the front of the sentence for us to understand the importance of the next things that he is going to say. So it's like by using the words not like at the front of the sentence, it's like the front porch of your garden, isn't it? Or the first few things that you have in your living room. You put it there and those are the very first things that people would see in your front porch. In the Philippines, what's common? Your plants in your front porch. You have your durian in your front porch. I hope wala kayo nung duwende tsaka dream catcher and all of those things. But anyway, the front porch is meant to give people a picture of what they will see first once they get into your home. Now you see here that in the front porch, in the front of the sentence, what Paul was using here is the word not like. And he did that in order for him to emphasize what he is going to say next. So what he's going to say next is very important. Here's what he says. It says here in verse 16, judgment arose. Would you say that with me for a while? Judgment arose. Judgment arose from one transgression resulting in condemnation. Resulting in condemnation. Judgment arose from one transgression. Friends, one transgression resulting in condemnation. Our sin brought upon us a divine judgment. It's like a gavel of a judge wherein we were sentenced with what? Condemnation. It's interesting because the judgment is not just for Adam, but the entire human race that Adam represented, which included you and me. Praise God for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God for the grace of God. One sin, friends, one sin is enough to damn a human soul to hell for all eternity. One sin will do that. Adam was our federal head. He was representing all of us. And at the same time, one sin against a holy and perfect God was more than enough to bring judgment down to every single one of us. And guess what? The judgment of God was condemnation. The judgment of God was condemnation. The word condemnation here is the word katakrima, which means harmful sentence. A sentence that will not do us any good. The sentence of that transgression is condemnation. The judgment means to render the verdict, and the verdict was, as we know, condemnation. If there is no grace, it will lead to eternal damnation in hell. Eternal damnation in hell. I don't know with you, but with what we've covered so far, if there's one thing that I have realized, it gives us a picture of how serious it is for us to be right with God. And it can only happen through the grace that is offered to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Many times we fail to realize just how holy God is and just how sinful we are. Now let's proceed to the context as he starts contrasting condemnation and justification. The latter part of verse 16, we see the contrast here. Here's what he says. But on the other hand, praise God for the Lord, but amen. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions resulting in justification. In the act of justification, this is what we've covered the past three Sundays. In the act of justification, God simply declares and charges to our account and imputes to us the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one act of disobedience of Adam brought condemnation to every one of us. The act of Jesus has removed the transgressions and has brought righteousness to everyone who will believe in him. As much as it's important for us to understand and embrace the historicity of Adam, even if you're someone who does not believe in that, it doesn't mean that you're not automatically part or under or be part of the headship of Adam. Meaning to say, the condemnation that resulted in his transgression is basically laid out for us as well. Last but not the least, and I want to end with this, is the reign of death and life. The reign of death and the reign of life. The last contrast is the reign of death and the reign of life. Look at this one. Romans chapter 5 verse 17. For if because of one man's trespass, look at this. It says here, death reigned through that one man. Death reigned through that one man. As a result of Adam's disobedience, Bible says, look at this one. Death reigned. That's a heavy term. Kasi ibig sabihin po, it talks about the kingdom. Who holds what? Who holds who? Who controls what? Who controls who? It says here, death reigned because of that one man. Death became such a cruel monarch for all humanity, for every single one of us. Death reigned, sin and death reigned, or is reigning in this world. And that is the reason why there is sin. That is the reason why there is misery, there is suffering, and there is sickness in this world. That's the reason why there's physical death, there's spiritual death, and there is eternal death. For those of you who might be wondering, you're thinking about 2020, I want to cancel 2020 because this is happening. You're thinking about what's happening in our nation. You're thinking about what's happening in the nations of the world. And you're starting to ask the question, what is wrong with the world? You know what's wrong with the world? What's wrong with the world is the fact that death reigns. You're thinking about your own life. What is wrong with my life? What is wrong with our life? It is because death reigns. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 3, it says here, when Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. What's interesting here is that Genesis chapter 5, verse 3 says, when he was 130 years old, Adam became a father to Seth. But it says here, he fathered a son in his own likeness after his image. Adam had a son in his own likeness, in his own image. This is important, you know why? Because if you ask the question, what does that look like? It gives us a picture that Adam's children and everyone who has been born after them have been what? Born in Adam's likeness and even after his image. What does that look like? It basically gives us a picture that it talks about minds that cannot see the truth. Romans chapter 1 verse 28 gives us a picture that we have a debased mind. We are incapable of honoring God. Mind that cannot know God. Affections that are defiled. Will that is dead towards the purposes and the will of God. Because of the transgression, death became such a ruler in this world. And now he begins to give a contrast. He begins to shift gear and he gives the contrast. In the same verse, here's what he says. Much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. The reign of death contrasted with the reign of life found in the one man, Christ Jesus. The grace that we're talking about here pertains to the entirety of the salvation package that is ours in Christ Jesus. Our propitiation, the peacing of our lives with God, our reconciliation, our justification, our redemption, our union with Christ. And because of our union with Christ, we have our communion with Christ and our adoption in Christ. It is a package deal of salvation. That is why the Bible says here in verse 17, this is an abundance of grace. And we have to take note, friends, that Paul was very clear in saying that this is but a one. This is a free gift. This abundance of grace that is offered to every single one of us. The reign of life. Justification, God's grace in our life. Paul says this is a free gift of righteousness. Paul mentions this is a free gift, meaning to say you bring nothing to the table. You are empty-handed. We bring nothing to the table. We have nothing to withdraw from our account and bring to the hands of God. In short, our funds are insufficient. That is basically what it tells us here. That this is but a free gift. This is not something that we work for to attain. The free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. I like the fact that Paul mentions the word man. This is where we see the necessity for the incarnation of Christ. This is not just like we made a mistake, so i-control Z lang po natin. To correct or rectify the wrongs of the first Adam. No, Paul here was emphasizing the humanity of Christ, which was absolutely necessary to undo what the first Adam did. Adam acted for all humanity, that is true. What Adam did affected all of us. But we also understand that because of that, God ushered in the second Adam. Jesus himself acted for a new humanity. And this new humanity are basically the believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is because of the idea of imputation. We know that Adam's sin was imputed to every single one of us. It was charged to our account. His transgression is our transgression. His transgression is also our condemnation. His sin was imputed to us. But here's where the grace of God plays in our life. Our sin was imputed to Christ. He bore our sin on the cross at Calvary. And because of what he has accomplished on the cross, because of his work, because of the person of Christ, Jesus' righteousness was imputed to us. It was credited to our account. Like what I said a while ago, we're not just forgiven, we were declared righteous. William Bill Walker says, this idea of the abundance of grace that we now have received through Jesus Christ is such a surplus and such an excess of grace that we have gained far, far more in Christ than we have ever lost in Adam. This is good news. This is good news. Ladies and gentlemen, this is why we call this the gospel. And the gospel, as we understand, never gets old. Next Sunday, as we wrap up our conversation, our discussion on justification, at least in this portion of the scripture, this portion of Romans chapter 5. We will still have this in the next coming sections in the book of Romans. Next Sunday, we will start talking about how we grow in grace. How we grow in our grace, in the grace of God in our life. As we end our discussion of Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter 4, and Romans chapter 5, as we have covered justification in length, perhaps I want to leave every single one of us with this question. And the question is, do we have a growing affection? Do we have a growing affection for Jesus because of the gospel? Yes, it's true. We've talked about the contrast. We love the thought of being justified. We love the thought of the righteousness of Christ being imputed to our account. But I'd like for us to understand that together with the increase of knowledge, there has to be an increase of affection. So, if there is no resulting increase in affection, then we have a problem. Because if that is the case, we have just kept the gospel perhaps in our mind. But we have not fully processed this in our life and applied this in our life. I thought about this and I thought about our justification. And the last contrast that we had was talking about the reign of death and the reign of life. That as a Christian now, I'm no longer under the reign of death. That is basically what it means. But I am under the reign of life in Jesus Christ. I thought about that and I was asking this question. What if we continue to live in sin as a Christian? What if I know of someone who continues to live in sin as a Christian? Now, perhaps, you know, the easiest answer to that is perhaps it's not right for us to say that the person is a Christian yet. It's not yet right for us to say that the person is Christian yet because technically, as a Christian, we ought to be freed from the habitual sin. Of course, I'm talking about habitual sin. I'm not saying that as a Christian, you will not sin anymore. If you live in habitual sin, then maybe you are still under the reign of death, under the reign of sin. If you live in habitual sin, then maybe you have not entered into the reign of life yet. If you have lived in habitual sin, then perhaps you are still with your old master, which is sin, dominating in your life, and you have not begun your walk with your new master, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. Why am I saying that? I am saying that because I'd like for us to understand, because justification is inseparable to sanctification. You just can't divorce the two. Everyone who is justified begins the process of sanctification in their life. Now, like what I said, let me qualify this. That does not mean that we can never sin. It simply means that there will be a break of the bondage of the reign of sin in our life. For the Christian man, sin is still present, but it is no longer precedent. It no longer reigns in our life. That is why Victory Dumaguete, hindi po enough na cerebral lang. Hindi pwedeng, alam ko na yan. Okay, great preaching on the book of John, bro. Great Bible study on great victory group into the book of Matthew. Great preaching, pastor. Sometimes at the back of our mind, alam ko na yan. Or narinig ko na yan. Alam ko na yan. Matagal na akong Christian. Oops, teka lang. Kasi minsan po, pwede nating sabihin na akala mo lang matagal ka ng Christian, pero minsan matagal ka lang sa simbahan. Matagal ka lang sa simbahan, pero posibleng hindi ka pa Christian. So ang tanong po, every time we start talking about these things, asan to sa buhay natin? I have to say this because the book of Romans is such a rich book to look into. And it is our desire that this translates into a growing affection for the Lord Jesus Christ. So kaya po ang tanong natin lagi is, asan to sa buhay? Asan yung gospel sa buhay natin? Because take note, si Judas po, narinig lahat ng preachings ni Jesus. So meaning to say, these things should have an effect in our life. We ought to be under a new management. We ought to have our lives submitted under the Lordship of Christ. Ang pagiging Christian po, hindi title. Hindi pong biodata. Ang pagiging Christian po is us following Christ. It is reflected in how we live our life. Let me just end this by looking into verses 12 and verse 18. If you pick up from verse 18, it's actually basically the conclusion coming from the long dash of verse 12. And I will end with this, friends. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men, because all sinned. Therefore, just as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. Here's what you need to praise God for. Here's why you need to worship Jesus. It says here, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Praise God for the work of salvation, His work of redemption in our life.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.